Good morning, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church. Just a few announcements and one advertisement. I went to the Natchez Little Theater yesterday evening and saw the Mississippi Medicine Show. And it was really nice. It was really good. So it's at 2 o'clock today. If you want to head down that way, you'll enjoy it. Now, that's the advertisement. Now for the announcements. Please note the nominating committee and the Board of Deacons are both meeting on Tuesday evening. Nominating committee at 6 and the Board of Deacons at 6:30. So that means nominating committee is going to have to get started right on time. And we will not be able to have Bible study this week. I covet your prayers. I will be traveling to Covington, Louisiana for a Presbytery Council meeting. Let's now be called to worship with these words from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's worship God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we come to you today, help us to put aside all our dreams of competence and independence, all the ways in which we try to solve our own problems and be the hero of our own story. Instead, let us turn to you. Help us truly worship you, considering you alone to be worthy of all honor and praise. For you alone are able to save us from our most serious problems. For we come in the name of the one who died so that we might be forgiven, the one who rose from the dead so that we might have new life, not only in the age to come, but right now, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnal. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal. If you'll turn to selection 596. Selection 596, we'll read responsively the selection at the top of the page. This Psalm 1, you have two options. We'll do the one at the top of the page, and I'll read the light face print and encourage you to respond with bold. Let's read this part of God's word responsively. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus for us. Let's celebrate those promises as we turn in our hymnals to selection 225, as we stand on all the promises that we find in God's word. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 225, and let us stand to sing.
Mm-hmm.
have celebrated the truth that we find in God's Word. Now let us say what God's Word tells us about God using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated. And now it's time for our children to come forward, have a little lesson with me. They'll come and sit on the front row. Good morning. How are you all this morning? I have a question for you. But first, I have a confession to make. When I was your age, I was really scared of something. I was really scared of the dark. And I didn't like it at all. How about you? Are y'all scared of anything? You're scared of sometimes what you dream about? Yeah. You don't like dark either? Yeah. A nightlight. Yeah, that helps with that, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what really made me feel better. When I got scared, you know who I went to see? I went to see Mama. And she made it all better somehow. I don't know how that is. They're just, parents can do magic like that, right? So would you be scared if your mom or daddy were right there with you? Wouldn't be as scary, would it? Because they'll take care of you. You know they're going to take care of you. Well, that's right. Climb up in Mom and Daddy's bed and you feel better no matter what's wrong. They may not feel so good, but you feel better. So, you know, big people can kind of do that. We can go talk to our Heavenly Father about what we're scared about. And you know, He promises, He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's always going to be with us. So whenever we get scared, we can go talk to God. And guess what? Y'all can too. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are always with us and that you love us so much. And that even when we get scared of something, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you for parents and other people who help us feel safe. But help us always, Lord, to feel safe when you are near. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.
And I do have a brief moment for mission as well. I have a couple of thank you notes to read to you all because we've been involved in lots of different mission projects. The first one comes from our local Hands of Hope group, and they write, thanks so much for the $500 that the church gave to our Hands of Hope food box program. This particular ministry reaches a very large need in McDowell County, West Virginia. Thank you for your prayers and support. So let's continue to be in prayer for the folks in Hands of Hope and for our brothers and sisters in McDowell County, West Virginia. This note comes to us from Genesis Presbyterian Church in Mercedes, Texas. Some of you may remember that when they left the PCUSA, they had to leave all of their building and all of their personal property, even their bank account, they had to leave behind. And so they have been trying to raise funds to build them a new place of worship. And this is the latest note we have on their campaign to do that. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ at First Presbyterian Church in Port Gibson, may the Lord bless you, your congregation, and your session as you labor in the expansion of the kingdom of God in Port Gibson. We are now on the final stretch of our fundraising for new facilities. Our new slogan is, the last stretch, Genesis 50 plus. We are inviting friends to donate $50 or more. Thank you so much for your generous donations and continued prayer for the ministry of Genesis Presbyterian Church. This brings us ever closer to our updated goal of $455,000. To God's glory, today we stand at $350,000. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90, verse 17. With love in Christ Jesus, Reverend Hector Reynoso from Genesis Church. And as usual, they include a list of all the names of the people in the church who signed the card. So let us continue to be in prayer for Hector and the good folks at Genesis Church in Mercedes, Texas, as they continue the work of the Lord there. And now, as we prepare our hearts for prayer, let us turn in our hymnals to selection 435. 435. Of course, I neglected to remove the note that we were singing to a different tune from last week, so we will sing this to the tune that we find in the hymn book, 435. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll sing all three stanzas, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. That's a wonderful welcome to prayer, isn't it? That no matter what's going on in our lives, whether it be trials or temptations or discouragements or friends who let us down, it doesn't matter what's going on. Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And because of that, we can be confident as children of God that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can go to the Lord in prayer. And so let us go with that confidence into the presence of God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and that no matter what is going on in our lives, you love us, and that you welcome us into your presence in prayer. That wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we thank you that you are with us, and we thank you that your love knows no end. As we said in our call to worship this morning, your mercy, your covenant, faithful, steadfast, promise-keeping love endures forever. And we thank you, Lord, that you have shown us this love in Jesus Christ. We thank you that because Jesus gave up his life, that we don't have to die for our sins. That we can have assurance, Lord, of new life now and life with you forever. Because of what Jesus did for us, because he died and because he rose again. And we thank you, O Lord, for Jesus. And we thank you for this assurance of your love. And so, Lord, today we want to pray that the knowledge of your love would spread everywhere. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Mercedes, Texas, as they seek to build a new house of worship so they can minister to more people in the community. Lord, we pray for those who spread the love of Jesus Christ in McDowell County, West Virginia, in the Hands of Hope Mission. Lord, we pray that with every food box that is distributed, that more and more people would come to know about Jesus and his love for them. Lord, we pray for our church planters who are laboring to help more people know about Jesus. We pray for Ben and Jenny Cunningham in New Orleans. We pray for Nathan Cotton in Katy, Texas. We pray for Daniel and Danielle Nguyen as they labor among Vietnamese-speaking folks in Sugar Land, Texas. We pray for Brett and Corinne Becker and Quest Church in New Braunfels. We pray for Christian and Marilyn Kreider in All Souls Church in Austin. Lord, we pray that as they lead worship today, perhaps even at this hour, that you would pour out your Spirit upon all who are gathered, and that you would gather in a rich harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we would be bold to pray the same thing for our own community, that you would draw more people to yourself, that you would help us, Lord, to also be the answers to some of our own prayers, that you would give us the desire to encourage and to welcome and to invite and to demonstrate the love of Jesus to those whom we welcome to follow him as we follow him. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, and because of that, we have no need to fear. And as we study, O Lord, the book of Joshua, we pray that you would fill us with the confidence of children of God, that we might be strong and courageous, that we might have ever more reason to give you thanks and to give you praise. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us worship God as we give unto him his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O Lord, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. We pray that as we offer these gifts to you, that you would take them as tokens of our love and expressions of our thanks, and that you would use them, indeed, that you would use us, all that we are and all that we have, for your glory. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Today we begin a new study of the book of Joshua. I realized that I've never preached on the book of Joshua. So this will be new for all of us. And I hope that we'll have a lot to learn from how the Lord dealt with his people in that difficult time in their community life together. Joshua chapter 1, we'll read the verses 1 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth,
but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That is God's word. That is God's promise. But when we see promises like that, when we open a book like this one, it's so easy to come to the wrong conclusion, isn't it? It's so easy to look at great heroes like Joshua and actually become discouraged. For how can any of us possibly hope to emulate his feats? How can any of us hope to do the sorts of amazing things that God called Joshua to do? We're not giants of faith. A lot of us have trouble just getting through the struggles of each day. Well, believe it or not, Joshua was just as human as any of us, and probably just as prone to fear and discouragement. After all, God had to tell him just 3 times in just this short passage, in verses 6, 7, and 9, God had to tell him 3 times to be strong and courageous. And in fact, Joshua had very good reason not to be courageous. He had very good reason to be apprehensive of the task which the Lord was calling him to do, after all. Verse 1 reminds us that up to this point, Joshua had been second banana. He had been Moses' minister or servant. And now, like a good executive officer, he had faithfully implemented Moses' orders for years. But now the time had come for Joshua to assume command, and such a shift is seldom comfortable and often a reason for fear. But Joshua also had quite a bit of personal knowledge about the challenges which awaited him. And that might have given him another reason for fear. After all, he and Caleb had been among a group of 12 spies that Moses had sent into the promised land some 40 years previously. That story is told in Numbers chapter 13. Now, when the spies had gone into the land 40 years previously, they had indeed found it to be rich and fertile. They said it was flowing with milk and honey, and that it bore plenteous fruit. In fact, they found a cluster of grapes so big that it took 2 of them to carry it, suspended on a staff on their shoulders between them. Now that's a lot of grapes. But the spies also found there were many pagan people living in the land. And they had big walled cities that would be easily defended against a besieging army. Oh, and they also had leaders of tremendous size, giants, perhaps like Goliath of Gath, who would fight David many years later. In fact, 10 of the 12 spies had come to the conclusion that the promised land would be too difficult for God's people to conquer. Only Joshua and Caleb had insisted that they should press forward, that they should trust the Lord to bring them into the land that he had promised to give them. Now, on that occasion, 40 years previously, the people of Israel had not believed Joshua. They had not believed Caleb. They had not followed their example of faithfulness. Instead, the people rebelled against God. They decided to return to Egypt, and they tried to stone Joshua and Caleb to death. So as a result, God condemned the people to wander in the desert for 40 years until all the adults of that generation had died, all except Joshua and Caleb. Now that's the background. And now Joshua is right back where he had been 40 years before, on the edge of the promised land. And the challenges were just as great. The pagans were doubtless just as numerous. Their walled cities were doubtless just as strong. Moreover, Joshua couldn't be sure that the people of God were any more willing to follow his leadership at this time than they had been 40 years previously. He had good reason not to be so courageous. So how could he know that God would bless his efforts with victory? How could he be strong and courageous? Well, we actually find a hint of the answer back in Numbers chapter 13, the same chapter which tells the story of the spies sent into the promised land. For there we also learn that Moses had gone so far as to change Joshua's name. His name at birth had been Hoshea, which means salvation. Moses insisted on changing his name to Yeshua, or Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Not salvation, but the Lord is salvation. And that is the same message that God gave Joshua in today's passage, isn't it? For God did not tell Joshua, oh, go do the best you can, here's an army, and I know you got this. No. God didn't tell Joshua to do the best he could. In fact, God didn't tell Joshua to win a great victory at all. God said he himself would accomplish the victory, didn't he? Look at verse 2. God describes the land which I do give to them. Look at verse 3. God says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. See, that's the reason that God kept telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. That's the reason that verse 5 says no one would be able to stand up against him and his armies. What did God say? I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. You see, Joshua could have such tremendous confidence. He could be strong and he could be courageous because God did not tell him to be Hoshea. God did not tell him to be the salvation of his people. God told him to be Joshua because the Lord himself would save his people. And the same thing is true for us today. Now, I know we've all got tremendous challenges. Our nation is riven by violence. We are polarized to a degree we have not seen since the cultural chaos of the 1960s. Communities from Jackson to Port Gibson are struggling with failing infrastructure and substandard schools. Too many people have too many health problems or economic problems or relationship problems, and there are no easy answers to any of these things. But what we can learn from today's passage is that we do not need to be some sort of great hero and solve all these problems ourselves. None of us need to step up and save the day. Like Joshua, what we really need is a great God to save us all. And the good news is that the same God who brought salvation to his people in the days of Joshua, the same God who led them out of Egypt with all those mighty miracles, the same God who led them into the promised land, as we'll see in the rest of this book, the same God has brought an even greater salvation through the cross of Christ. And the same God promises to be with all those who trust in Jesus, just as he promised to be with Joshua. But that raises another question, doesn't it? For if we've placed our faith in Christ, if we are confident that the Spirit of Christ lives within us, why doesn't God help us with more of the problems that we face? Once again, we can look at this book. We can look at the way that God saved Joshua and God saved the people at the time of Joshua, and we can fall into discouragement. Is it that God just doesn't love us as much as he loved them? Why doesn't God answer more of our prayers? Why doesn't give God us more of the victories that we need? Well, oftentimes, when we ask a question like that, a question we can't find the answer to in the Bible, the problem is really that we're asking the wrong question. So instead of asking, why doesn't God help me with my problems? Perhaps a better question is, am I facing the problems that God wants me to face? Instead of asking, why doesn't God help me with the battles that I'm fighting? Maybe we should ask, am I fighting the battles the Lord wants me to fight? After all, if we're just heading off in some sort of self-centered direction, if we're trying to do something that wouldn't be good for us or wouldn't be good for others, should we expect God to help us out? Why should we expect to have any hope of guidance or assurance or success if we're heading in a direction God doesn't want us to go? Maybe we're not successful because our efforts are not lined up with God's will. It does happen sometimes. But if we are, in fact, doing what God wants us to do, the same sort of assurance that Joshua had can be ours. Take, for example, the impossible task which I have to face every week. Opening up a book that was written 2,000 years ago and a lot more sometimes in a foreign language and trying to apply the truth of this book that was written by God in a way that will make a difference in our modern life today. How can anyone ever hope to do something like that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 55, God makes a promise about this very task. He says about his word, "It shall not return unto me void, empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's God's word, and that's a great comfort to me and to all preachers, because no matter how much of a hash I may make out of this sermon, as long as I'm presenting the text of the scripture faithfully and clearly, God's word is going to do the rest. I can be confident that God will accomplish his purpose through his word because God promised to do that very thing. And because of that promise, I can have assurance. In the same way, the reason Joshua could have such assurance as he headed off across the Jordan is precisely because he knew he was doing God's will. Look at verse 6. Hundreds of years previously, God had said he would give this land to his people. In fact, God had gone so far as to swear to do that. If you look back in Genesis chapter 15, God made a solemn covenant promise to Abraham. He took a blood oath that that land would belong to Abraham's descendants. And so Joshua could be confident of victory in no small measure because he knew he was fighting not his own battle, but the Lord's battle. He knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. So how about us? Is there an area of your life in which you feel as though your prayers are not being answered? Maybe we all need to stop every now and then and wonder whether it's God's will for us to accomplish that task, whether it's God's will for that door to be opened. Have you ever searched the scriptures to determine if God has made a promise concerning whatever it is that you're doing? If so, you can be confident. But if not, if you're just charting your own course, if you're powered by your own steam, there's no telling where you'll end up.
there's no guarantee you'll stay afloat. Okay, but what if we really are trusting in God's power to save us? And what if we're really trusting in God's power to guide us and direct us? What if we're really trying to do something we know God wants us to do? What if we're taking care of our loved ones? What if we're trying to keep our marriage vows? What if we're trying to provide for our families? What if we're trying to grow the church? I mean, these are all good and godly purposes, right? So what if we're trying to do something good? What if we're trusting in God to give us the victory? And what if we're still not successful? What if we're still not experiencing the sort of victory that God promised to Joshua? What then? Well, what else did God tell Joshua? In verses 7 and 8, God said that he not only needed to trust in God's power, he not only needed to focus his efforts on accomplishing God's purposes, he also needed to observe God's law. Remember, God told Joshua not to deviate at all from the commandments which God had given to Moses. God told Joshua, I want you to meditate on those commandments. That means think about it. But more than that, he said they were not to leave his mouth, which means God wanted him to repeat those things over and over to himself and to others. It was only when he was saturated in the Word of God, it was only then that God said his way would be prosperous and he would have good success. And if you think about it, this kind of promise, this linking of success and obedience, makes a lot of sense. After all, what would we think, for example, what would we think of an army that was really motivated to fight against its enemies, but at the same time refused to listen to any of the commands of its officers? What if each one of the soldiers went charging off into battle and whenever and wherever he wanted to? There's no way such an army could have any success, right? There's no way they could win a battle. I mean, the best they could hope for was to avoid being destroyed. Or think about a basketball team with really talented individual players, but they don't pay any attention to the coach who's drawing up the plays. Do they have any success in winning? A football team that doesn't play by the same playbook? No way. So can we doubt that the same thing is true in the Christian life? No, we may not know all of God's word, and we may not understand why God says for us to do some of the things he says. Some of it's frankly not very commonsensical. Love my enemies? Really, Jesus? Really? But whether it makes sense to us or not, does it really make sense for us to harbor sin, to remain in rebellion against God in one area of our lives, and still imagine that we can achieve victory for him somewhere else? Does it make sense? James put it this way in chapter 1 of his letter. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And don't we see that link between success and obedience? Don't we see that link also in our responsive reading today from Psalm 1? Isn't that basically what God was saying there too? He talks about wicked people, those who scoff at God's law, those who say, oh, I don't need to pay any attention to God. I don't need to pay any attention to what God's doing. Well, what are they doing? They're separating themselves from God. They're separating themselves from God's people. And what did God say is going to happen to them? They're going to dry up and blow away. Oh, but the one who meditates on God's word. That's what God told Joshua to do. The one who meditates on God's word. The one who thinks about God's word. The one who tries to be obedient to God's word in every part of his life. What will he be like? He's not going to be like chaff that dries up and blows away. He's going to be like a tree with roots. And those roots go into rivers of water. So regardless of what the weather is like, regardless of whether it's rainy or whether it's dry, regardless of the circumstances of his life, he's going to be able, because he's rooted and he's watered, he's going to be able to bear fruit. In spite of whatever opposition he might face, he will prosper. Because like Joshua, he'll be trusting in God's power. He'll be seeking to accomplish God's purposes, and he'll be doing all of this according to God's will. That's why he can be strong and confident and courageous. And that's why we can too. So this week, let's be confident in the God who is with us, the God who is with us. Let us seek to determine the direction he has for our lives. Let us strive to obey him more consistently in every way. For the closer we stick to him, the more certain we can be of victory. Because we know he's going to win. The closer we stick to him, the more certain we can be that he will fulfill his promises in his way, in his time. Let us pray. Oh Lord, this week don't let us go charging off in our own direction, in our own way, according to our own will, and then cry because we're not achieving any success. Let us first seek your will in the areas of our life where we understand what your will is. And let us ask you, O Lord, for direction and for guidance. Most of all, Lord, help us to remember your power, your love, your grace, your mercy, your promises to us in Jesus Christ. And thus, let us be strong and courageous. For we offer this prayer in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the head of the church and who is living within all who trust in him. We offer this prayer in the strong name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stick close to the one we know is going to win the battle. As we turn in our hymnals to selection 352, selection 352, for a closer walk with God. We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing. to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.